Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, I was at a mastermind event in Park City, Utah, with my buddy Scott Duffy, Scott Duffy Media, part of Entrepreneur. And he asked me to speak first. And I thought to myself, today I'm going to do something a little different because I'm sick and tired of doing the same old thing and being kind of the same old guy. I'm ready to kind of refresh my life, reboot. So I thought, I'm just going to wait till I get up there and I'm just going to let God flow through me and say something brilliant. What do you think happened? I can tell you right now, not a dang thing happened. I sat up there, I looked around at the audience and I said, well, let's see. Why are we here? And then I just started talking. What is our purpose in life? What do you want the world to know of you when it's all said and done? And then guess what? It worked. I actually said something from my heart, completely not rehearsed, purely what I felt in my soul, unfiltered. And I think that is where I'm trying to go in my life now, is to be completely authentic. And it ain't easy to do because most people are miserable. So all they can do if they close their eyes is see their misery, see how unhappy they are. They don't have any solutions. They forget, believe it or not, to kind of lean into God a little bit. That's kind of the path I'm on. I'm turning 60 years old this year. This is my decade of spirituality. All right. I'll let you know that going forward because 2020 starts a whole new thing for Alan Taylor. But I got to tell you, the interesting thing is that on this journey of doing this radio show and the other ones that I've been doing for the last 30 years, I find that leaders really have a foundation very quietly. They don't like to talk about it. They have a foundation based in faith. Because if you don't, what's it all for? Anyway. So that'll be kind of a theme you guys will hear a little bit more about along the way. And no, I'm not going to be a Bible thumper or a thumper of any kind, because at the end of the day, I want to hear how successful people, how they have become successful and what it was their journey like. Like my guest right now, Bruce Daisley, he's the former VP of Twitter. And previously he ran YouTube UK at Google, and he has now written a book that's out there for you. Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat. If you add .com, you can find him on the web. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Wow, what an incredible thing I've just witnessed. how magical. I hope that articulately can flow through me while we talk.
Well, you know what? Listen, we're all on a journey, are we not? I mean, whether it's an entrepreneurial journey or a spiritual journey or the journey of our life, being married, being single, being parent with children, being single parent, whatever it is, it's all a journey. You wake up every day and you're either pissed off or you're thankful to be alive. And really, I think having some kind of appreciation for life, I think, is a really great way to start your day. And I wake up every morning and I'm just happy. I don't even know. Anyway, but that's where I'm at.
I hear you. Right? I hear you.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we can't take it for granted that we have health, that we have happiness. I hear you. Absolutely.
So talk about Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat, the book, the website. And do me a favor. I'm going to take a little break. When we come back, I want to know about Bruce Daisley, because is it true that you sent a resume in, like as a cartoon, to your first job?
Well, you've done your research there. That is absolutely true. Yeah, I'd spent some time. I'd finished from college, and I was trying to work out how to get on in the world. And I think what I realized was that no one taking a chance on me, because who would take a chance on me? My resume had pretty much nothing on it. And in a moment, probably partly filling time and partly resourcefulness, I illustrated my life in 4 pages of cartoon strips. And you've got to imagine something closer to, you know, old Dennis the Menace, old Peanut strips,
right,
than anything sort of Marvel or DC. But I created this cartoon image of my life. And, you know, thankfully, people took a chance on me.
That's awesome. Well, obviously, former VP of Twitter, and running YouTube UK for Google, you've obviously been quite successful. When we come back, I want to learn more about you and Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat. This is Entrepreneur Radio. For you, there's nothing in this world I wouldn't do.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly, Entrepreneur Radio, Entrepreneur Podcast, whatever you want to call it. We are on the web and on radio stations all across America. Thanks to our radio affiliates for taking the show. Our guest right now is Bruce Daisley, former Twitter VP, and also previously ran YouTube UK at Google. And he has a podcast too, by the way, Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat. I guess what, like 100 or more episodes now, huh, Bruce?
Yeah, getting on for that. And awesome. Really, the podcast episodes are really trying to help us find what makes us enjoy our jobs, what makes our jobs feel more connected, more human, and just trying to solve some of the issues that all of us face with the 9 to 5.
So you are now retired from Twitter and you write this book. But do me a favor, give me a little bit more about this journey. I love the fact that you had a sense of humor. And I think that, you know, I'm half British, as I told you in the commercials.
Yeah.
My dad is from London. My mom is from Alabama, which makes me George Costanza from Seinfeld television show, you know, confused. But I think the British sense of humor, it goes a long way in this world. And it's funny because a lot of people would say, well, you know, the British are very stoic, you know, but I think that the British have an incredible sense of humor. Of course, I grew up with a British dad, and he has a great sense of humor. And you started your career being funny, in essence. Look where it got you, too.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing. I a lot of Brits debate this, and I think because we've got this history of being the biggest empire on the planet and owning everything, and then it collapsing around our ears. And I don't think any Brit would be proud of our imperial past, but you know, it's clearly something that is in our history. But as a result of that, we've learned that when we turn up for a sporting event, we probably won't win. And when we've turned up for whatever else it is, we probably won't win. And so we bake our self-effacing and self-deprecating approach into everything that we do. We Brits, we expect to lose. And so we've got our retaliation in soonest.
I love
and I think
that.
And I think as a result of that, it just fosters a sense that, you know, we're never that serious. Most British people in scenarios, if there's an opportunity, witness it last year with Olivia Colman's Oscar-winning speech, we're generally not that serious. We're generally trying to see the funny side of anything that we do.
That's great. Well, so now Twitter and YouTube, these are big jobs, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the strange thing, I think we can all reflect. When I set out sort of in my career and started looking for a job, I had no idea that these jobs even existed. And so you know, I set out, you mentioned my cartoon resume. In fact, as I was leaving college, I was praying that I was going to get a job in a record company, or I was going to get a job in something related to music. Well, little did I know that YouTube would be one of the main ways that people would consume music, because no one had remotely even conceived of it.
Well, so this is just so interesting, though. It's like it wasn't something you set out to do. You just kind of happened upon it and thought, that sounds good. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I went through a series of other jobs along the way. The interesting thing about the YouTube experience was that I joined Google just after Google had bought YouTube. Mm. And you know, I put my hand up saying I'd love to work on that just because I remained so captivating. Captivated by it. You know, for me, an evening with a cup of tea or a glass of wine and YouTube and the crazy little wormholes you can find yourself going down,
right,
are remarkable. It's just extraordinary, you know. Or typing something into that YouTube search box when you've got a bit of time and you find yourself you know, studying film direction composition, or you know, find yourself looking into archive music footage. Just unbelievable. Anyway, I put my hand up when I first joined Google saying, hey, if you want anyone to work on that, I'd love to do it. Mm. And the strange thing is, I joined a company filled with high achievers and high performers. And there's obviously, you know, a truism, a rule that often comes about, which is follow the money. And people want to work on the things that generate a lot of cash. And so when I put my hand up saying I'd love to work on YouTube, people said, but, you know, it's just dogs on skateboards. It doesn't it's, you know, who's going to ever want to be involved in that? And at the time, yeah, no one wanted to work on it. Genuinely, putting my hand up to work on YouTube, there were people shaking their head, as you know, to usher me through the crowd.
Right.
And so, you know, I found myself, and I guess it's just a reminder, don't necessarily follow the conventional wisdom, but following, I thought, wow, I just love it. I love it so much.
Hold tight. We're going to get run over by a commercial break here for the radio stations. We're talking with Bruce Daisley, former Twitter VP. Eat, sleep, work, repeat. We'll be right back.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I could just picture Bruce Daisley skipping his way through life, enjoying his life, laughing at most everything. I've got the job as the Twitter VP. Oh, you want me to run YouTube, UK shit? Yeah, I'll do it. What the heck? It's just people on skateboards, right? What do I got to lose? I love it. I love the fact that you actually kind of gave us the perspective of how the Brits think. And I believe it's true. I mean, I've watched my dad my whole life, and my dad, he would be talking about this serious subject. He was a life psychologist, kind of like a Tony Robbins kind of a guy. And all of a sudden he'd crack some joke and we're like, oh, it's so inappropriate. And my dad would just keep laughing, you know, and it was like so far ahead of his time. And of course, it, you know, it always was inappropriate, which made it so funny.
Look at the monarchy. The whole thing about the monarchy is that other countries around the world, democracies, would say to us, what? You've got this woman who's your leader, and she's effectively got, it's like she's got a soap opera family. And of course, and we look at it and we go, yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. We get it. It's just for fun. And they go, yeah, okay, on the basis of that, yeah, it's quite good fun.
Exactly.
If you don't take it too seriously, then what's the worst that can happen?
Let's get to this. You wrote the book Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat. And I understand you have two megatrends that are making modern work worse. And I hope they're funny, because this is like, it's so entertaining. But I thought, all right, we got to get back to business. That's just hilarious.
Look, so here's what the book is, that I found myself in this workplace. And I think maybe any of us who don't work at exciting Silicon Valley firms can end up thinking that our jobs are dull and monochrome in comparison. And I want you to know that that's resolutely not the case, that, you know, these jobs often look more exciting from the outside than they are inside. And albeit that you don't have a slide going through your office, you shouldn't feel inferior. However, I was witnessing the worst parts of work in my job that other companies might have. And that's burnout, people feeling frazzled by their job. One of the mega trends you mentioned is that since email came onto our smartphones, we're all doing about 2 hours a day more work than ever before.
Right.
It's like generationally we're doing more work than ever before, but it's invisible because we're doing it while we're on the couch. We're doing it while we're stuck in traffic. We're
eating just dinner, whatever, on the toilet.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. First thing that people do in the morning, they open their email and they respond to a message from their boss. And so it's invisibly, it's permeated our lives more than ever before.
Right.
And so it's no wonder now that people are seeing work as their identity more than any previous generation. And so I set about thinking, as, you know, as a boss, as someone who had enjoyed work at times, I set about thinking, what can I do to improve this, make the day-to-day, the 9-to-5, a bit more engaging, rewarding? And so that's it. So the book, you know, it has I'm glad to point out, it does have moments of levity in it. And I'm not sure anyone wants to read like a very serious book after a hard day of at work.
Right.
So, you know, it's got moments of levity, but it's filled with evidence about how we can make work better, even if we're not the boss.
So I think you named it wrong. It should have been, let's see here. Hold on. It's eat, sleep, work, repeat. In my case, it is work, eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep. It starts with work, you know? Anyway, that's funny. Okay, so you said there are two megatrends. What is the second one? You said the first one is that we are being controlled every moment of our awakened moment, even in our sleep even, by the digital world that we are living in. What's the next one?
Yeah, the second one is the one that none of us believe. In the same way that none of us believed that we would summon food to our apartment or house by the tapping the glass on our phone, and none of us believed that we could summon a cab driver to come and pick us up and take us somewhere, and none of us believe that in 10 years' time, computers will be doing parts of our jobs. And that might be it. They'll be doing the routine parts of ordering deliveries, the routine parts of the things that we do week in, week out.
Yeah.
Machine learning algorithms are going to be doing those parts of the jobs. And what's going to be left for us humans? Well, the things that are going to be left are the things that we're really good at, where the things that dealing with unpredictability, dealing with uncertainty, thinking of a better way to do what we did last year. And most of us are scared of saying that that's creative. We don't see ourselves as creative. But when you're tasked with doing what you did last year or what you did last week better, that's creativity. You need to have inventive spirit. And the reason why the two megatrends matter is because the evidence strongly suggests that this stress that we've filled every waking moment of work with, this stress is killing our ability to be creative. Mm.
And, you know, it's interesting because one thing that a computer cannot do the way a human can do is innovate and create, because it is subject to the data that you give it. I mean, it can do a certain amount of innovation based on the data, but humans can see things beyond, into the beyond, I guess you might say. We'll take another break. When we come back, so his book is eatsleepworkrepeat.com on the web, but also subtitle 30 Hacks for Bringing Joy to Your Job and Life. I added a couple words. We're going to come back and get some hacks to make our lives better. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. You can find Bruce Daisley, again, eatsleepworkrepeat.com on the web. We'll be right back with more.
There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Yes, radio and podcast and videos I do. We have a magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine, on newsstands everywhere, worldwide. You know, it's out there all over the world. And also on into the universe, we have our website, entrepreneur.com. Our guest right now, Bruce Daisley, former vice president of Twitter, now has a book, Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat, at .com. You can find it on the web. 30 Hacks for Bringing Joy to Your Job. And Bruce, maybe you could share with us some of those hacks. We've got a little time. You're fun to talk to, and I you're just putting a smile on my face. So first of all, I have a this is worded interestingly. These hacks will help you recharge and make work less awful. It's like, all work is awful. Let's make it less awful. But actually, you know what? I enjoy my work. I live for it. I feel like, look, in the good book, it says, by the sweat off your brow shall you earn your bread. So I know I got to work. I don't want to sit there and turn into a giant couch potato, right? I want to be out in the world working with people, trying to make my life better and everybody that I come in contact with. I want to make their life better. Whether I'm at a coffee shop and the lady comes up to pour me some coffee and you can just see that she's wearing the weight of the world on her shoulders. And if I can just say, boy, the coffee really tastes good today, and get her to look at my eyes and smile at her, and she could say, oh, thanks. Yeah, it's the same coffee we make, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But it's like more, I'm just trying to give her a little bit of love, you know, like, hey, I see you. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I'm living my life. So any of these the hacks that can make people's lives work less awful is good to me. So give us some.
Well, I think, you know, firstly, it's worth saying, Alan, that what an honor you have to feel so actively engaged with your job, because sadly, when we look at the numbers, they speak to something very different. I think, you know, the stats for the US are that somewhere around a third of us are in some way engaged with our jobs. And tragically, the other two thirds are less engaged. In fact, there's a significant group, almost as big as the engaged group, who are actively disengaged in their jobs, right. Meaning that they almost want to bring down the diner that they're working in.
Right.
They will only be happy when that coffee is no longer being poured into your cup.
Right.
And so there are a lot of disengaged people out there. And I think that was the interesting thing for me. I was working in, you know, this aspirational workplace environment.
Right.
And I was witnessing that, you know, to a certain extent, some of my colleagues were showing that dead behind the eyes look, the sort of the weariness of not another day, the sort of Groundhog Day vibe to them. And I set about thinking, what can I do to make this better? And in 1 year, we had a lot of our team resigning with no job to go to. And there's never anything, a more emphatic vote of no confidence than your team choosing to go and take their chance to find something rather than stick it out another day with you. So that was the critical thing for me. And what I discovered was along the way that it's often the issues are that we just feel overwhelmed and it just stops us enjoying things. The symptoms of burnout, I mentioned burnout before, but the symptoms of burnout are things that we used to do and we used to find enjoyable are no longer as pleasurable. One of the symptoms of burnout, recognized by the World Health Organization, is depersonalization, meaning that we just don't see other people as fully formed sentient beings in the way that we really should. So if you find the way that the guy next to you types on his keyboard or the way that the woman opposite you chews gum, you might be suffering signs of depersonalization. And so I was intent on finding a way, firstly, that we could enjoy work better ourselves. And then secondly, what were the ways that we could go from being just individuals? How can we enjoy being teams together? How can we build a better workplace culture? So I set about doing those things. Let me tell you, the quickest thing that anyone can do to feel less overwhelmed, less burnt out by their jobs, is turning notifications off on their phone. And that seems like a really strange one. But what we discover is that our brains are far more finite than we would like to give them credit for. It's almost like we've got a certain amount of energy. Really interestingly, I chatted to people who deal with physical handicaps. And quite often they talk about the amount of spoons that people have got, the amount of energy that someone's got. And they'll often say, people who are sort of carrying a disability, they'll say, I'm out of spoons, meaning I'm out of sort of, I don't have any energy left. And it's a really interesting metaphor, because there's a degree of truth to how our brains work that we've confined that we just don't have the energy to think about things. And one of the things that we can push against that is by turning notifications off on our phone and, you know, relieving ourselves of these constant surge of interruptions. And if nothing else, even if you only turn email notifications off, it can be really liberating. It can remove you from this umbilical cord that connects us to our work.
We're talking about these hacks, of which 30 hacks for bringing joy to your job, in the book Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat, author Bruce Daisley. Do me a favor, give me one more and I'll take a break and let you give me some more, because these are all good. I didn't even know that I could turn off those things.
No, you're welcome.
Yeah, no, I you know what? I'm one of those guys, though, that it's like, I want to know everything and I want to know it now. But I've also learned how to manage it. I know I need to continue managing it better, but I have such a zest for life that I just, it's like, bring it on. I'm ready for it. Give me another one more.
And I think what happens there is that we all regard that we've got this infinite energy, and even you just finding that you're pushing back a little bit against the constant surge of the immediate, you often find the ability, or, you know, it's worth experimenting.
Yeah.
So the group who did that research, they asked people to turn notifications off on their phone for a week, and they couldn't get enough people to do it. And just on the verge of giving up, they said, will you turn your notifications off for one day? 2 years later, half of the people who turned off their notifications still had them turned off. Oh, so I just suggest
don't
you give it a go.
Don't get me going. My business will somehow suffer for it. That's what they think, right? Let me take a break, and we'll come back and talk more about some of these hacks for bringing joy to your job. Are you reaching burnout? I'm not, but maybe someday when I'm 90, 95 years old, I may. But for those of you who are, which I know people do, Bruce Daisley may have some answers for you. His book, Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat.com on the web. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. You know, the night's magic seem to whisper and hush. All the way from London, he's calling in Bruce Daisley. Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat. That's his book. He's got a whole bunch of great hacks for bringing joy to your job. And I am. I feel very blessed. You said it. I feel very blessed that I love what I do. I cannot wait to jump out of bed and just do it. I'm going to be 60 years old in June. And I woke up this morning. It was like, I don't know, 7. I don't know. It's not that early. But it was like I spun around, stood up, and I'm into the bathroom, into the shower. And I was thinking to myself, you know, man, I just love working. It's like most people drag themselves out of bed and drag themselves into the bathroom, into the kitchen, out into the car. And I'm shot out of a cannon every day. I'm so happy. So, but I know that that's a rare thing. But and Bruce Daisley talking to all of the other people out there that work is a drudgery, and he has many, many hacks for bringing joy to your job in his book, Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat. Give us another hack, Bruce.
Well, firstly, Alan, I wonder if in your experience of work, there's something that we can all learn from, because one of the things that most of us find exhausting about our jobs is that the fact that they've become so devoid of human interaction. We find ourselves, paradoxically, we find ourselves in these meetings where we're just sitting, pretending to listen. We find ourselves sitting in meetings, watching people do PowerPoint at us. Then we leave. We find ourselves sitting at desks, trying to get through emails as quickly as possible so no one shouts at us. And I wonder if it's the fact that you're able to engage with people, to interact, that might be one of the secrets. Because certainly when I looked into the research of this, I found that there's no shortage of evidence that says the more that we talk to other people, the more energized and the more productive we are. There's an incredible guy from Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and he did some incredible work really trying to look at what was the thing that seemed to make some offices more creative, more productive than others. And he said 2% of the creativity of the productivity of offices is down to meetings. 3% is down to emails. 38% is down to face-to-face conversation. And so I do wonder, Alan, if you're, you know, standing there by the microphone, sharing thoughts with people might be one of the secrets of your feeling so energetic and positive.
It's funny that you say that, because I posted something. I'm going to be on American TV on ABC in April. And I said, it's official. It's my 21st year on Live with Kelly and Ryan, which is a number one television show here in America in the morning. And I said, now I just need to drop 20 pounds. And I just, you know, I make fun of myself, self-deprecating humor. And one lady, I have many, many, many comments, but one lady says, your heart and compassion for your family and friends are more important than how much or how little you might weigh for the few minutes you're on TV. It's your heart that we see and hear. Take care and enjoy your visit with Kelly and Ryan. And I thought to myself, I said to her, I said, you're so sweet. I think I gained 2 pounds because my heart just grew. But it's funny, because we all worry about what we look like and how people see us, when really, Bruce, people see our heart first. And I think the world wants to follow a man or a woman, anybody, with a good heart. So I lead with my heart. So.
Well, here's the one of the interesting things. I couldn't agree more. But one of the interesting things, when we look at the evidence, it seems that 4 out of 10 people now say that they don't have a single friend at work.
Wow.
And so for all of that big heart, for all of that connection that we used to have that has always existed, work is becoming increasingly lonely.
Yeah.
And when you look into the evidence of this, probably one of the biggest studies ever conducted, a 70-year-long study, and it's tried to look into the secret of long life, and it said the secret of long life is friends and love.
Mm.
Now, if we're creating a version of work which is lonely, isolated, where we don't have friends, where we don't have a chat over coffee for fear of being judged as lazy, right, then there is the risk that while we're sort of focused on productivity, we're focused on getting more done, we're deleting the part of work that makes us feel human. And so this was my focus. You know, if you said to me, what was my favorite part of this book that I've created? It's the bit about laughter, because laughter is the, strangely, we almost feel embarrassed to mention laughter. If someone said to you your favorite job or the favorite place you've ever worked, there is no doubt that the place you laughed most would probably pop up into your memory. It wouldn't be that you were more productive, that you hit more targets, but you'll remember a time that you laughed with colleagues. And sadly, I think that's increasingly being eliminated from the experience of work for a lot of us.
I agree, and I believe that just like a plant needs sunshine and water and soil to grow, and that soil being manure, that's our job sometimes, it's the manure, but we still need a little nourishment from the sun, and the nourishment for the spirit is that love and that laughter that you just spoke about. And I think that is so, so important. And I'm going to take another little break here, and we'll come back and continue with some fun hacks here. Again, we're talking with Bruce Daisley. He was the former VP of Twitter. He also previously ran YouTube, UK for Google. And now he has a book out, Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat. Put a .com behind it. You can find it. And 30 hacks for bringing joy to your job. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. This is what it's all about. We'll be right back. Looking for the place called Eho Fooks. Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Previously, Bruce Daisley ran, YouTube for the big company Google, and former VP of Twitter. And what does he want to do with his life? How does he want to be remembered? Which I love this, is a man that offered a little bit of hope for people that have these jobs that they're just not happy with. And it could be that there's nothing wrong with the job. It could be your outlook on life. So Bruce Daisley joining us again. Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat.com on the web, but the book is Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat. Let me have some more of these hacks before we say goodbye. I give you a whole hour because you've been fun. You've been entertaining. We've been on the right subject here that a lot of people need a little help in this area. What do you got for us?
Yeah, well, one of the things I'm most intrigued by, and obviously this depends on the location of your workplace, is the power of walking meetings. So I'm a big opponent of meetings. I think we spend too much time in them. I think they're exhausting. I think they make our experience of work to be monotonous. But one of the things that seems to be true is going for walking meetings seems to be a good substitute.
I love and that.
Yeah, and the reason why, it seems to make us more creative. It seems to connect us with our colleagues more. My favorite thing about walking meetings, though, is that, you know, it's very easy. If you suggest to an earnest colleague that you go for a walking meeting, they might tell you that, you know, heaven forbid, a competitor might listen to the conversation and hear the marketing plan right. for 2021. And my favorite bit of evidence is that the only member of the New York Mafia to ever take the stand in a court case, the only member of the New York Mafia to ever turn state witness, was on the record talking about their perspective of confidentiality. And he said, our philosophy in the Mafia is we never talk in a car. We never talk in a club. We never talk in a house. We never talk in a bar. We only ever talk when we're walking.
Wow.
And I love that.
I love right? that.
It feels a stage as he's going through it like it's going to be a Dr. Seuss riddle.
Right.
But, but yeah, he said that we only talk when we're walking. So, you know, if your colleague says to you, you suggest a walking meeting, if your colleague suggests to you that it would be unconfidential and unsafe, you tell them the Mafia sent you.
I love it. Give me one more real quick.
Yeah, I mean, just I think the really critical thing is that setting time aside to connect with each other. We might all remember episodes of Cheers where, you know, people would gravitate to a bar and spend time together. But we often find that our work colleagues just can't do that. But what we discover is when companies set time aside for colleagues to connect with each other, to talk with each other. I met one organization that just used to, the receptionist just used to send an email round and say, I've got some snacks, and it was Snack Thursday, 4:30 on a Thursday. She would send an email round, it's Snack Thursday, and she'd got some potato chips, some various different things. And she'd organized it because she said no one was talking to each other in the office. They'd created this sort of lonely existence. And just by buying some potato chips, some Pringles, a few snacks, gradually over the course of the next few weeks, they just got to know each other. A new boss started and he started scheduling meetings at 4:30 on Thursday. And they had to confront it. They said they had to go and say, look, I'm sorry, but we kind of get together at that time and it's become a big part of our culture around here.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Standing up to the boss and letting him know what is important to you. I've had my employees do that to me in the past. And sometimes I go, like, what did you just say?
Yeah.
And then I look at him and I go, good on you for having the courage to come up to me and tell me what's important to you, because I do care. And maybe I'm just being, you know, gosh, under pressure myself and not in that moment thinking about, you know, you as a human being. So being able to actually speak up to the boss in a loving and caring way may just make your life a little better. I found one quote, one of the most important things to do as a team. This quote is Bruce Daisley, laugh together. Well, I've had a good time with you, Bruce. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
The book, Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat, 30 Hacks for Bringing Joy to Your Job. I notice in here 10 Secrets of an Energized Team. There's a lot of good stuff in there for all of us. And congratulations on all your success. And maybe I'll be on your show sometime, huh? Come on. Don't forget, he's got a podcast. Same name, eatsleepworkrepeat.com. You'll find his podcast there. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you. God save the Queen.
That is awesome. All right. We'll see you next week right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.